All right, we're continuing our series we started last week called The Anointing. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, you're anointed. You're anointed by God. We believe that everybody in this room has an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And I want you to look at this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. I have an anointing, you have an anointing. And what we want to do is we want to empower you to move in your anointing that God has given you so that we can see great things happen. How many want to belong to an anointed church? Yes. And the anointing is this. It's that little extra something that is in anything we do that is supernatural. That when we're operating under the anointing, we have supernatural help behind us to do what we normally can't do on our own. And we want to have anointed preaching. I want to be anointed when I preach. I don't want to just give good lessons and, you know, you walk out and say, wow, that was a good message. I want it to be anointed. In other words, I want it to have supernatural power and authority. Amen? And I want us to have anointed worship and singing and our musicians that they're not just playing songs and singing notes, but there's something that comes out from deep inside that moves people. Has anybody ever been in a service where the anointing of God was so strong and so apparent that it just sort of took over? And that's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to have control here in our church. We want Sunday school teachers that are anointed. We want greeters that have the anointing of God. We want the workers over in Kids Blast to have the anointing. You know, from time to time, I kind of do these checkups on different parts of our ministry. And Wednesday night, Pastor Ryan didn't know it, but I kind of snuck into Catalyst, our youth service, and I was in a Superman costume, but that didn't stop me from being discreet. Some of you know what that's about. But I came in, and I was really enjoying it because it was so apparent he was operating under the anointing, that it wasn't just him giving a lesson, but the Holy Spirit was moving, and it was enabling him to do what he needed to do. And that's what we want around here. We want an anointed church. We want people full of passion and fire from God and from the Holy Ghost that is propelling us to do supernatural things. Does anybody want the anointing upon your life? Does anybody want that? And so every believer is an anointed believer. And we want the anointing to operate powerfully. And the anointing is what matters. You see, it takes anointed people, and it takes anointed men and women of God to see the results that we want to see. I don't know about you, but when I walk into a situation where there's turmoil and strife and chaos, people don't know what to do, I want to have the anointing of God on my life to step in and to say what needs to be said and to do what needs to be done. And here's the thing, the anointing is not just about what happens here at church. The anointing could be on us in our homes. We need anointed husbands and wives, and we need anointed moms and dads and grandmas who can speak a word of God in a timely situation to help people and to bring peace to a chaotic situation. We want the anointing in our life. It's the anointing that matters. And here's the thing. I'm not just satisfied with saying I'm a Christian. I want to be anointed. I want to have the power of God moving in my life to do what he's called me to do. And here's what we have to realize today is that the anointing is a very, very precious possession. That when God anoints us with something, he is entrusting us with a gift. And Paul, we alluded to it last week. Paul, in Romans chapter 11, he says, what the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, they're irrevocable. That I've seen people that who are very anointed people that come to find out were living immoral lives, but they were still anointed. And here's the thing, that's very tragic. Why? Because people can affirm your gift, but God not affirm your gift. And I want to be in right relationship with God. And here's what we have to realize is that God has done great things in our church. Is anybody thankful for this church? Anybody glad you belong to this body of Christ? But here's what I want to tell us today. better things are ahead. Anybody believe that? Better things are ahead. I'm not satisfied with what God did yesterday. I'm not satisfied with what we've done in the past and the baptisms and the supernatural things. I believe that the greatest moves of God that we've ever seen, the greatest days of this church are not just yesterday, but they're today and they're going to happen in the future. Does anybody believe that today? But here's what we realize. If that's going to happen, we have to have a today anointing and we have to have a tomorrow anointing. Now that means this, that we have to have a fresh anointing. And I'm going to explain what that means over the next couple weeks, but that means what we have to be walking with God, that we have to have a new experience with God. We can't rely upon what God did yesterday. We can't rely upon yesterday's anointing, yesterday's experience. You know, when churches do that, they become museums to the past. We want to be a memorial to the future of what God's going to do. We want to see the greatest things that's ever happened in this church. The greatest testimonies are yet to come. I believe that. But I want to kind of give us this week. I don't know, it might sound, I suppose, a little bit negative, but it's not supposed to be. Just hang with me here. But I want to talk about how we can lose the sharpness of the anointing. How we can lose the anointing in our life. And as I said, you can always be anointed because the gift of God is irrevocable. When God gives us a gift, it's irrevocable. However, we have to realize the gift isn't the most important thing. What's most important is our relationship with Him. But here's the thing. When we walk away from God, we can still have an anointing, but the sharpness isn't there. The effectiveness isn't there. The fire isn't there. And we want to keep that fire burning. We want to keep our anointing sharp. We want, when people walk through these doors, that they still feel the anointing and the presence of God. All right, and so what we don't want is for the glory of God to depart, the anointing of God to depart, where there's just a resemblance of what used to be, and there's just a resemblance of some form of power, but we want real power and real anointing in this place. And I think we all know that we've seen churches that they used to have the anointing and power and blessing of God, powerful things happening in the church, and then it's like over a period of time, people get lukewarm, and that anointing just kind of seems to slip out the door. And so we want to always be stirring the fire of the Holy Spirit in this place. Why? Because there's a world and there's a community, there's friends and family that need the anointing of God moving in our life. Amen? All right, so I want to give us kind of 3 points today of how we can lose the anointing. And I want to use King Saul as kind of a test case. And here's what happened, that Saul was basically a common person, and he was anointed by God to become king of Israel. And his anointing was powerful. But over time, it just kind of slipped away from him. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, God told Samuel, he said, go find this person that I want you to anoint, and it turned out to be Saul. And Samuel was a prophet by God who had the power to do this. And it says this, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. Now, I talked about last week that that same anointing that was on Saul is on you and I. See, that oil that was used to anoint him represents the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, that anointing is just as powerful as what was on Saul. Amen? Right. But I want to show us something here. Look what happens in verse 9. When he turned his back to leave Samuel, speaking of Saul, God gave him another heart. And all of those signs came to pass, all of these signs came to pass this day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied amongst them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, what has come over the son of Kish, being Saul? Is Saul also amongst the prophets? Wow, so I want you to see, after he was anointed, something supernatural came inside of him, and he had the anointing to prophesy. And the people around him saw him prophesying, being used by the Spirit of God. And they said, is that the same Saul that we know? Because this looks like a different person. And by the way, that's what we want around here. We want the Spirit of God to come on you so strongly that people eventually say, who is that? How many wants that? How many wants the anointing to be so strong on you that it transforms who you are? So I give you these verses to show you this, that there was a time where Saul was powerful. Not just in name, but also with God. He had a powerful experience with God. And he was anointed by God. And he operated not only as a king, but also as a prophet. But over time, Saul allowed some things to come into his life. He was disobedient. And I want to show you some things that happen here over these 3 points today of how we can lose our anointing. And here's what's scary is this. God had rejected him, but yet he was still anointed. In other words, people still observed him to be king, the anointed king by God, but yet he was rejected by God himself. And there's a danger in this, in that when we walk in the power that God has given us to do what God's called us to do, but the fellowship with him isn't there, we deceive ourselves. And this happens not only in individuals, but also in churches. There can be good things happening within a church, but yet we've lost the connection we had with God. We've lost the anointing that we used to have with God. And through a series of missteps, Saul lost the power of his anointing. And there's nothing more tragic than to see people who are once very anointed by God merely become a shell of what they used to be. And here's what we have to realize, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, but sometimes we can allow our heart to get to a point where we just become a shell of what we could have been had we not continued to walk with God and stay in the power of the anointing that he has given us. All right, so the first thing that Saul did to lose the anointing, and the thing that will happen to us that will make us to lose our anointing if we're not careful as a church and as individuals, number one is pride. He became proudful. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, it tells a story that the Israelites were about to go into battle, but they were to make a sacrifice before God before the battle. And the only person who could make that sacrifice was Samuel. And he was running late. And Saul got a little bit fidgety, and he was ready to go to war, and he knew that the time was coming that he needed to commence this battle. But the Lord had told him, you are to wait on Samuel. But he went ahead, and he stepped out of his anointing, and he operated as the priest of God, which is something he was never called to do, and it had tragic consequences. I want you to see what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 13. It says, he waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering, and as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. But you ask, well, what's the big deal? You know, it's a sacrifice, you know. Well, here's what we have to realize is that he was not ordained and anointed by God to do that. Only the priest could do that. Only Samuel could do that. And the real issue is here is arrogance. Saul's attitude is, I'll do what I want to do. And here's what often happens with people who are very anointed and with churches that are very anointed. If we're not careful, we get drunk on our own reputation. We get drunk on our own merit and what we can do. And that's why it's not uncommon to see pastors and to see preachers who are powerfully used by God. If we're not careful, we get a little bit full of ourselves, and we think that because we're anointed, we can do whatever we want, and God will be okay with it. And here's what we have to realize as a church and as people, is that we have to protect the anointing that God has given us, and we protect it through relationship. Amen, somebody. We have to walk closely with God. And what Saul did was an act of disobedience. And the way people lose their anointing, the way churches lose the anointing, is when we start straying from what God wants us to do. And we start to do whatever we want to do. And that requires us, our anointing requires careful reliance and dependence upon him all of the time. And here's what happened. Instead of repenting, Saul became increasingly paranoid. He became increasingly full of vengeance. He became increasingly jealous of other people. Matter of fact, we see that he reaches a point where God says, I'm basically done. I'm moving on, and I want you, Samuel, to anoint David. And Saul became paranoid of David. He became jealous of David. And here's the thing, that he thought anointing was all about a title when it was really about a relationship. And here's what I'm going to tell us today as a church is this, is that God has done great things in this church as we just praised him for. But here's the thing, we cannot rely on our reputation. We cannot rely on just the fact that we have an anointing. We have to realize that that anointing comes from one place, and we are reliant upon Jesus Christ for the power that's flowing within us. And here's how this happens in a church is like, well, we are first fill in the blank. Don't you know what God's done here? Don't you know who we are? If God's going to do anything in our community, he's going to do it through us. If anything powerful is going to happen in our town, it's going to happen through us. And we become very prideful because of the name on the front of our church. We become very prideful over what God's maybe done in the past. And the result of this, is that God doesn't stay beholden to anybody. I wish I could get a Pentecostal amen. God doesn't care if the front of your church says Pentecostal. He doesn't care what your doctrinal statement. You can have it chock full of correct doctrinal statements, but all of that does not equal anointing. Because the anointing can only be kept through the relationship that we have with him and reliance upon him. That is when the anointing is most powerful. You know, I've heard stories about G.A. Ming and would go on 40-day fast. He was a pastor who's gone on with the Lord. But he would go on 40-day fast. And during these fasts, he would go places and preach. And they said that they would have to physically pick him up to walk into the building. But when he stepped into that pulpit, the anointing of God would come on him so strong that people would begin to fall in repentance, that people would come forth to be baptized and be full with the Spirit. Why? Because the anointing was there to make up for what he didn't have. Amen. And that's why we fast. That's why we pray. We say, Lord, I want to rely upon your anointing. And we have to realize that just because God is doing things through us doesn't ever mean that we stop fasting and we stop praying. Amen. Why? Because I have to have a fresh anointing in my life. Yes. Who wants a fresh anointing in your life? Who wants to have the real deal? Can we lift our hands to God right now and praise him? God, give us fresh anointing. So we lose our anointing when we become prideful. And we stop doing what God's called us to do. Second way that we lose our anointing is this. We rely on yesterday's experience. You see, somewhere along the line, Saul began to use the anointing not as a way to glorify God, but it became about validating himself. And his whole attitude became, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that Saul anointed me? Don't you know years ago he put the anointing of God on me and I'm your king and you will obey me? And that's not what it's about. Look what happens with him. Is that he becomes increasingly paranoid because he is relying on a past experience. And here's what I want to tell us today. Is that we cannot rely upon the past in our personal life and in this church. That what God did 10 years ago, that's not going to look like what God's going to do in 5 years. Boy, God's really stirred us up with what he's done through Celebrate Recovery here recently, but I believe that God's going to give us new testimonies. God's going to give us new stories. And here's the thing, is that Saul was still anointed, but it was merely yesterday's anointing. That his experience with God, it wasn't a fresh experience, but it was an old, stale experience that had occurred earlier. And that you have to continually, for the anointing of God to be moving your life, you have to be in continual contact with him. And the power of the anointing of the past is really, it can be deceptive, can it? You see, we oftentimes will try to use the way God moved in the past to replicate what he wants to do today. What are some ways that that happens? Well, how many out there have a favorite song that, you know, you hear it and chills start to, you know, you get the huckabuck and And here's how it happens in churches. Sometimes, well, if we just play this song, the anointing will fall down. And then we kind of limit the anointing of God to a song. And if we're not careful, we'll worship the song more than we worship God. You know, God has a way of not allowing us to put him in a box. I'll give you an example that around the turn of last century, the way evangelism really worked was through tent revivals. And powerful things happened in these tent revivals. And so sometimes people will say things, well, if we could only just go back to the tent revival. Like there was something special about the tent. There was something special about not having air conditioning that made people seek God. And if we just put up a tent, we could really have revival. Well, that was yesterday's anointing. That anointing was good for then, but it's not good now.
Right.
Our hope's not intense. You know, a thing that, you know, sticks out to me is like camp meetings. There was a time where that was a very important vehicle which God moved, and God can still move in those, but life has changed now, and we can't go to camp meetings like we used to. And so that's kind of yesterday's anointing. And we have to find ways, and we have to work in ways in which God is working right now. And I can't worship yesterday's anointing. Yeah, I have friends, you know, they'll try to remodel their church and maybe put in these seats instead of pews, and World War III breaks out. And when you get down to it, the reason is this. Sister so-and-so had a special experience at pew number 3 on the left side. And to her, that represents an experience. And that's fine, but we have to realize that it wasn't the pew that saved you. That's yesterday's anointing. God can move just fine in a lazy boy, actually, if we need him to. No one say amen, because you all be falling asleep. But my point is this. We get in trouble when we associate buildings. We associate songs. We say things like, well, you know, we just don't sing like we used to. Well, maybe it's just not your style. You know, Brother Tenney tells a story that he was in a youth meeting and they had flashing lights and modern music, and an older minister came out and said, "Do you like this stuff?" And Brother Tenney said, "No, and I'm not supposed to." Why? Because he realizes that what worked in his time doesn't work right now.
Right.
I love Amazing Grace, but if we sing Amazing Grace every Sunday for the next 10 years, that song in itself isn't going to save anybody.
No.
It's all about the anointing of God. It's all about having a fresh experience of God.
Yes.
I believe the greatest songs that's ever been written haven't been written yet.
Right.
The greatest worship that we've ever seen in this earth hasn't taken place yet. And yesterday's good. Yesterday's fine. Thank God for what Grandma did. Thank God for her giving and her sacrifice and her faithfulness. But that is not going to give you the anointing you need today. You have to find a fresh anointing in your life that will work for today, that will work in this time, in this era. I'm preaching better than your amen. It's still true. And here's what happens. And here's what happened to Saul. When we try to hold on to yesterday's anointing, you know what we have to do? We have to manipulate things, don't we? We have to manipulate things so that it works the way we want it to work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I don't like that song, therefore God hates it. And here's what you have to realize. The anointing, we can't put it in a box. We can't say it looks like this. My good friend Jim Conley tells an incredible story that this pastor called him. Jim pastors in Ireland. And this pastor called him that he had never heard of, wanting to come preach for him. And so he said, fine. And they made the arrangements. Well, it came about church time, and the guy never showed up. And he's getting worried. And they stalled, and they started worship service, and they got to the last possible second where, you know, if this guy doesn't show up, I'm going to have to preach. And he said, all of a sudden, the doors, like these center doors, they flung open, and this guy with long gray hair, a white hat with a leopard stripe around it, and a white suit came down the aisle and just started walking towards the pulpit. And when he got to the platform, he grabbed a guitar and just started strumming. and started reading scriptures. And you have to understand, the Irish are a pretty laid-back group.
Yeah.
Like, you can pull fire down from heaven, and they'll just stare at you. I've seen this.
Yeah.
And he said, this guy just starts strumming a guitar, reading scriptures, and all of a sudden, the anointing of God hit that place, and people fell on their knees. People started crying. People started repenting. Awesome things happened. And he did this for a few minutes. He put the guitar back. He walked out of the back doors, and no one knows who he was, and no one can find him.
Come on.
Preach. You know what that was? That was anointing.
Yes.
That was anointing.
Oh, yes.
But let me show you what we like to do. Oh, so what we need to do is we need to bring in a guest speaker, and we need to have him walk in at the last second and pick up a guitar. Here's the secret to revival, guys. And just start reading scriptures. If we do that, if we have someone do that. You know what? If I did that today, it would be a total failure. You know why? God hasn't anointed me to do that.
Come on.
And you know what? That was probably a one-time experience for God to show his power. And the point I'm trying to make here today is that we can't worship yesterday's anointing. We have to have a fresh experience. And look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9. He says that, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. In other words, he's saying you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Why? Because it won't stretch. And here's what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to put new wine into this church. He's wanting to do new things. But some of us, we've been worshiping yesterday's anointing for so long, we don't have the ability to receive what God wants to do. Oh, come on, somebody. How many want some new wineskins? And there's some things out there. I love it. It's good. But at the end of the day, it's an old wineskin. It's what God did yesterday. And we can't worship that. We have to say, God, what do you want to do today? God, how do you want to show yourself? And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he came, one of the ways he manifested himself was as a mighty rushing wind. You know, a wind, you can't see it. It's unpredictable, right? Even, you know, as we've been tracking this hurricane, all the models they've been putting up, none of them have been right. Why? Because you can't predict the wind. And that's how God operates. I can't put him in a box and say, this is how he'll act in 2018. This is what God's going to do in 2018 because he did this in 2015 or 1980. No, God's going to do incredible things. The Holy Spirit's going to do incredible things. Why? Because he likes to blow our mind.
Yes.
Oh, somebody dream with me. How many want some fresh anointing?
Yes.
I believe we're going to see some fresh anointing in our country. We're going to see churches that have had dry anointing for years. They've been worshiping the past for years. They're going to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to shake that church up. We're going to see people come to Christ in droves. We're going to see people baptized like we've never seen it before. Why? Because I believe that there's a fresh anointing that's going to come upon us. Does anybody want a fresh anointing in your life? Does anybody want to see God do new things? And anybody tired of talking about the past, talking about what was? How many wants to see God do a new thing? Oh, somebody praise him. Somebody receive it right now. Some of the best sermons I've ever preached haven't happened yet. Somebody say, I'm getting there. Thank you for that backhanded compliment. I receive it. My favorite backhanded compliment, you're a good little preacher. In other words, you're not quite bishop yet, but you're getting there. No, but I want the anointing God has for me, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm going completely off notes. Bishop has an anointing of prayer. And I believe some of the most powerful prayers, he hasn't prayed yet. Why? Because he always has a fresh anointing of prayer. And the day we start worshiping the past in this church and what God did, and, you know, we just look at pictures all the time of, you know, the past, and all that is great. We can't, we're starting to build our cemetery when we do that.
Right.
We're preparing for our death. I'm looking forward to the future. Why? The greatest anointing God has for us is in our future. The greatest power that God has ever displayed, and those events have yet to happen yet. We've got to have a today anointing, not a yesterday anointing. All right, the third thing, third way to lose the power of the anointing is this: selfish ambition and disunity. Selfish ambition and disunity. Saul began to use his personal anointing to attack other people. Why? To make him look better and to protect his own little kingdom. And he became, as I said, vindictive and paranoid. And here's the sad thing. He died. He was an anointed, powerfully anointed man as a young man, but he died lonely and isolated. Yeah. And here's the thing, is that if we're not careful as individuals and as a church, we'll let that anointing slip away. And here's what happens. God's going to do what he wants to do. And if I reject what he wants to do in me, he'll find somebody. And I was so proud of this church. You know, think about, you know, what if we just said, well, you know, it's just too much to give to Houston. It's too much to show up for a Saturday. And, you know, can we really even make a difference anyway? There's just so much damage. But you know what? We answered the call. And here's what happened. And I love seeing this last week. When we answered the call, God's anointing showed up. You see, when you answer the call, you may not know what you're doing. God will give you the anointing to figure it out. And if we would have said no, I really believe this, he would have found somebody that said yes.
I believe it.
And if you don't want the anointing on your life, and you don't want the power of the Spirit moving in your life, that's fine. He'll go find somebody. There's a Muslim out there. There's somebody out there following some pagan belief who wants the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, and he'll anoint them. And here's what happens when we say no to the anointing and when we don't protect the anointing in our life and God anoints other people. Oftentimes those people that say no become jealous and vindictive. You know, it's a badge of honor that I think our church wears, and we've heard it from other churches for years as well. And Herrick, they'll take anybody in. Anybody can go to that church. And they mean it as a slam, but I take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
Why? Because when you start dealing with the people nobody wants to deal with, the anointing will show up. Because that's the ministry of Jesus. He said, yeah, the anointing is upon me. What? To go to those who are broken and those who are in prison, those who are hurt. If you want the anointing in your life, I'm going, this has nothing to do with my notes. I'm just letting y'all know. If you want the anointing in your life, go find somebody that's broken, who's discouraged, who has no hope, and just start to give them Jesus, and the anointing of God will show up. And if we want the anointing of God to disappear this church, here's what we need to do. We need to make it just a little club where just a few people, if you pass a test of how much you know about the Bible and, you know, what you do and these certain things, and if, you know, we're going to keep everybody else out and we're going to be paranoid about it. If you want the anointing to shut off, do that. But if you want the anointing to be fresh, say, come on in. We're on a journey. We're not there yet, but we believe that God's with us. We believe the anointing's on us, and we're going to become the people he wants us to be. We're going to do great things. We're going to heal, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We're going to bind up the wounds of the broken and the hurting. And it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what station you are in life. Come on in. Why? Because we believe that grace is for you. We believe that forgiveness is for you. And if God can save us, Lord knows he can save you. I'm telling you, if you want the anointing of God, I've seen Brett and Rachel, they've entered into a new anointing this week. Or not this week, the last couple of years. If you want it to be this week, that's fine. Brett's holding a baby. I hope it's not that anointing. Come on.
My Lord.
Lots of anointing going around these days. I better just leave that. But here's what I'll tell you. Why? Because they've reached out into the ministry of Jesus. And the anointing will make up for what you don't know and what you don't think you can do. I've seen it in the prison with Kevin Timpenny and Bill Martin. The anointing comes upon them to minister to those men. And when we become selfish and we become, you know, this is just our little platform and this is all about us and how great we are, and our church services become things about, you know, worshiping how great and holy we are. And we want to be holy. We want to have something to give people. Amen? And part of the anointing is this. We've got to have a purity inside of us. That's one of the ways we protect our anointing. But we can't worship our holiness. Oh, come on, somebody. Because here's the thing. If it's your holiness, it's not holy. It's His holiness. It's His righteousness that comes through Calvary that saves us. And so here's, if you want to ruin the anointing, get selfish ambition and disunity. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit or the anointing, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And how we lose the anointing is when it becomes all about us and our little show, and everybody has to bow down and worship us and tell us how great we are. Yeah. And we lose, and this is what happened to Saul. He lost his servant's heart, where he lost that realization that my anointing has just been about to help people. And I stopped functioning in my anointing when I stopped helping people. And so Paul says this. He says, if you want to keep the anointing of the Spirit, have the same mind, have the same love, be full of accord, in other words, full of unity and of one mind. And so that's why we have to protect the unity of our church. Why? Because I want us to be an anointed church. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, you know, when we grieve the Spirit, that's where the anointing comes from. And he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You want to shut the anointing of God off in your life? Get bitter and hard-hearted. Always be in a conflict with somebody. Always have a grudge. Always keep score. But if you want to keep that fresh anointing oil flowing in your life, be full of love, be full of forgiveness. Why? Because that's the ministry of Jesus.
Right.
Have a humble heart. Have a teachable spirit. And how we shut off the anointing in our church is, you know, if we could get two or three different grudges and arguments and people have to choose sides and people are fighting with one another, that shuts off the anointing in a church. When people stir things up, stir strife up, or let's go here, gossip. Gossiping about your brothers and sisters, and, well, you won't believe who I saw, and they had this on, and they were doing this, and, you know, they pass it on to somebody else, and that shuts off the anointing. I want you to read this, Proverbs 6. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Number one, haughty eyes. That's pride. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and listen to this one, and one who sows discord amongst the brothers. God says, I hate that. And that's what Saul did. He forced people to choose sides. He said, either you're with me or you're with David. And what it did is it brought disunity into the kingdom. It brought chaos. And here's what all of us have to have, whether it's me, Bishop, or anybody in this church. We have to have our eyes on Jesus, and we have to be full of love and full of forgiveness to one another. Why? Because there's an anointing to protect in this church. And we have to be full of love and passion for people inside and outside of this building. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, when I do that, I protect the anointing of God in my life. And when I do that, I believe the anointing begins to operate even more powerfully. Why? Because that's the ministry of Jesus. And here's what I want us to really focus on today is this, is that when you really break it down, the anointing is all about this. It's all about love. It's all about love. If you want the anointing of God to operate in a more powerful fashion in your life, there's two things. Love God more, love people more. When they asked Jesus, what's this all about? That's what he said. Love me with everything. Love people as much as you love yourself. And when you start to do those things, God begins to anoint you. Why? Because that's his ministry, is loving people. And I just want to challenge you today. Whatever you do in this church, whatever you do outside of this church, do it in love. Don't do it in selfish ambition. Today, as I preach, one of my prayers that I always pray before I step up here, God, help me to reflect you. Help this to be about you. Help this, I don't want this to be validation of me. I want this to help people. Help me to love people today. Help me, God, to give them a word from you so that you can minister to them today. And that is how the anointing flows, is when you start to love God and love people. Does anybody want a greater measure of that in your life? Can we all stand today? Can we do that? Why don't we lift up our hands? If you want to be anointed today in a greater power and fashion, if you want God to put a burden in your heart for people like you've never had before, why don't you lift up your hands all over this place today? And why don't you just pray that, God, help me to love people. Help me to love you, God. Help me, God, to not make this about me, Lord, but help me to be your servant, God. Lord, I pray, Jesus, Lord, that your anointing, God, would come upon every person in this church today, this week, God. Lord, I pray, Jesus, when we step into that situation where somebody needs the Spirit of God to speak in their life, they need somebody to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, I pray your anointing would be upon us to do that. Lord, I pray, anoint our lips, God. Anoint our ears, Lord, so that we can hear what you have to say. Anoint our hands and feet, God, so that the power of the Holy Ghost can be moving in us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I wonder if we could close our eyes over this place real fast. Wow, the Holy Ghost is moving in here today. You can feel it. We've tapped into something. But if you're here today and you just want to know Jesus more, maybe you're not where you need to be spiritually, I want to tell you that that's the most important thing. That before God can use you, he wants to know you. So if you're here today and you want to know Jesus more, you don't think you're where you need to be, but you want to just raise your hand in faith to say, Jesus, please help me to know you more. I'm giving you my life. Why don't you lift